Welcome to this special edition of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I've put together these Focus Extra shows, in addition to the regular weekly podcasts, in order to bring you all the conversations I recorded live at Focus on Imaging 2012. There's a lot to get through, so each recording will lead straight into the next. In this edition, I'm talking with Nikon Cameras, Zenfolio Photographer Hosting and Websites, and Joby Flexible Tripod Products. As ever, you can check out all the show notes to this and all other shows at theactivephotographer.com. So, I'm stood here under the big yellow and black banner of Nikon, and once again I've caught up with Rob McNeice, who is now heading up Nikon Professional Services.
That's correct, yeah.
And slightly different role in effect from last time, but essentially he still knows his stuff. Now, let's cut to the chase. You guys want to know about two cameras and two cameras only. You want to know about the D4 and you want to know about the D800. So, Rob, let's have a look at the D4 first of all.
Right, well, I mean, first thing to say is that our D4s here have been hugely popular. Thank you. So I have to grab it out of a customer's hand, first of all. But the D4 is obviously our flagship camera. So it is effectively the replacement for the hugely popular D3 and D3S, which we know have done incredibly well over the last few years with professional photographers and amateur photographers alike. Essentially, it is similar to the D3S in terms of its main styling. You've still got the same kind of magnesium alloy body that we're used to with our top-end cameras, so it's very, very rugged. It's got the same level of weather sealing that we expect from our pro cameras, but we've got a lot of new features in there. In fact, over 50 new features, all things that we believe make photographing, you know, a better experience, make it easier for the photographer. And these are things that have all been requested by photographers. So, I mean, let's start with some of the differences. I mean, the first thing is it's a higher resolution, 16 million pixels. With the D3, we had 12 million pixels. So it's not hugely bigger, but we believe for the kind of market that's using this camera, it will be just enough to give you slightly better pictures without having too much of a larger file size to deal with. We put in a bigger screen as well, so it's a 3.2-inch screen.
And it is noticeable how much bigger it is, just that 0.2, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a small amount, but you can actually see it. It stares at you straight in the face when you pick the camera up as well. And there's been a few other improvements with the screen as well. So firstly, we've put in a dimming facility, so it's got an ambient light sensor. So basically, as the ambient light changes, the brightness of the screen will automatically either go up in bright conditions or go down in dull conditions to suit the environment you're working in. Also, the screen is now almost sRGB, very, very close to sRGB. So if you're shooting in that colour space, what you see on the back of the screen will be very accurate.
And that has always been... wonderful announcers. I've always had this conversation with people regularly whereby they'll look at the back of their screens and they'll take it as being the final result. They'll take it as being absolutely trusted. Now, thinking way back to the D2H,
right? Yes.
I still have a D2H.
I really do.
Somewhere.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it's a very blue, very cold screen.
Okay.
I know not to trust it,
sure,
because it is a reference.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've now got that accuracy, that is a good step forward.
Absolutely. I mean, as long as people are using a colour managed system and they're, you know, colour profiling their monitors and so on, what they see on the back of the screen will be pretty much exactly what they're going to get in their final result. Yeah. So, I mean, the screen is one of many, many upgrades to talk about. I mean, some other things that we've done. I mean, one of the biggest things we've done is we've now got full HD in a full-frame camera. I think last year I was telling you about the D7000.
Yeah.
So we'd entered into to full HD, but not in a full-frame camera.
So how... We were talking at the time, and for those of you listening that didn't hear last year's podcast from Focus on Imaging, I will be linking to what we're talking about. But we were talking about how video was the next step, how a lot of photographers, stills photographers, were embracing that. So, yeah, as you say, you brought that into the D4, but it's that much better.
Absolutely, it's stunning. I mean, we've employed a London-based fashion and celebrity photographer called John Wright to make a video for us, and he's getting very much into videography as well as high-end stills photography. And it was actually using the D800, which I'll come and talk about in a little while, but it has essentially the same video capabilities as the D4. And he loves the camera. I mean, we've been displaying, we've got actually our stand at Nikon at the Focus at the moment, we've got Europe's biggest LCD TV screen, and we've been displaying this video, and we're getting very, very good feedback on it. I mean, it is broadcast quality, so it's shooting in 1080p, which is what the broadcast industry want. You can shoot at 24 frames a second, 25 frames a second, which is perfect for TV, or 30 frames a second. And you've also got an HD option as well to shoot at 50 or 60 frames a second, so you can slow down to half the speed.
And a few weeks ago, I put on the website a couple of your product overview videos that circulating around the web. Yeah. And the response that I got just through sharing those, people were amazed with this next step.
You know? Absolutely. I think, you know, it's fair to say that we have been slightly behind in the video market, but we know with the strength of the video capabilities of the D4 and the D800 that we're going to gain a lot of that video market back. In fact, we were at a Broadcasting and Video Expo 2 weeks ago for the first time, and the feedback we were getting from the broadcast industry was superb.
Interesting you mentioned that. I went to that last year.
Okay.
And yeah, I had other commitments this year. But I sat through a lecture or a seminar where there was a guy from Canon that was talking talking about, or he worked at a Canon specialist shop, shall we say. But you could see the reaction of a number of the very hardcore traditional video guys just really weren't sure what to make of it. Did you find from this year's show that they're more accepting? They see that they need to make the move?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, obviously, essentially, Nikon are a stills camera manufacturer, but we have just been able to put amazing video capabilities into our cameras. And the scary thing is that in many respects, these will outperform even high-end video cameras, because you've got a bigger sensor, because you've got full manual control, you've got things like your picture controls as well, and they're at the fraction of a cost of a lot of high-end video cameras.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even for, I mean, we'll be getting these into the hands of the BBC shortly, and there are a lot of production guys actually calling us up over the last few weeks saying we really want to get our hands on a D4 or even a D800 to try and get it, because, you know, for the video industry, unlike the photographic industry, budgets are huge.
Yeah.
So these become expendable cameras. You can put them in places you can't put big camcorders. So, you know, very, very exciting option, for the video industry, certainly.
And to look at the D4, it's no bigger than the D3?
I don't know the exact figures. I mean, I think it's pretty much the same size.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's actually slightly lighter. It's 40 grams lighter than the D3. And a lot of photographers have noticed that when they pick it up. So, you know, at the end of the day, if they're wearing it around their neck all day long, it might be a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's still a heavy camera because it's very solid, very, very rugged build quality.
And just tell me one other thing. With the memory card system, how does the D4 write?
We've got dual memory card slots in the D4, but we've got a new format. We've got the XQD format.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people may not have heard of that yet, but that the Compact Flash Association, which comprises of people like Lexar and SanDisk, have announced that this is the future. This is the redevelopment of Compact Flash. So with the XQD card, it actually allows you to write and read a lot quicker
than even with UDMA. Compatible.
So you've got one CF slot. So for those photographers out there that have already got CF cards, which be a lot of you guys, you can still use that, but the XQD will give you the ultra quick reading and writing.
So does that mean silly question perhaps, but can both slots be used with traditional CF cards?
No,
you're essentially down to one.
You are one CF card slot and one XQD slot,
which is worth knowing because
absolutely. But I mean, honestly, the feedback we've had on this camera is so unbelievably, you know, positive. That obviously when a new format comes out, people worry about it. Photographers don't care. They're like, I just want a D4. I don't mind that I have to buy a new format of card. They just want this camera.
Well,
in their
I remember hands, so. My first ever Lexar card, 150 megabyte.
Yeah.
So 512 meg, and it was about 170 quid.
Absolutely.
You know,
so they are.
It's just progress. It's what happens.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. But the stats on the XQD slot are that you can actually buffer We quote 170 large JPEG shots. That's shooting at 11 frames a second.
Wow.
Yeah, but I tested it in the office because I wasn't sure, you know, I wanted to see for myself. And I put it onto large JPEG and I timed it in 20 seconds. I got 220 large JPEG shots.
That's incredible.
So what we're quoting, that's long enough for you to photograph Usain Bolt running the 200 metres at 11 frames a second and still get his celebration at the end.
And was that actually a benchmark point, saying, look, we're going to use him as an example? If you wanted, was that something that, is it physically possible in a camera? Was that just a happy coincidence?
No, it was just a happy coincidence, just something that I thought of myself, yeah. But there you go. But it's an Olympic year, so we thought we'd use an Olympic metaphor.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, the D4 is a phenomenal camera in terms of speed, but there are a lot of other things. I don't know if we've even got time for me to go through all the things that I can tell you about this camera, but there are some significant improvements over the D3 series. So I'm going to just tell you about the focusing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same, essentially the same focus module that the D3 had, which is the multicam 3500FX, but we've improved the glass in that module, which means that the D4 can now focus in very low light, minus 2 EV, which is essentially moonlight.
Yeah.
So you can actually focus, you can acquire focus, and you can subject track in moonlight, which is phenomenal. There isn't another camera on the market that can do that. We've also vastly improved the way in which you control the focusing. So before, on the D3 and previous generation cameras, we had a switch on the back which changed it from single point focus to dynamic and so on. But a lot of photographers found that, well, it was quite confusing. It was possible to choose conflicting options and so on. So we've taken that away and we've put it all now into one handy button on the front of the camera.
Okay.
So the beauty of that now is that you can change from single to continuous by pressing the button and simultaneously rotating the rear dial, which means you don't have to take your eye away from the camera. And you get a very handy visual representation using the red focus points through the window, which tells you which focus mode you're in. Also, by pressing the button and rotating the front command dial, we can toggle through, let's just put it in the right mode there, we can toggle through all the different focus options. So you've got single area, you've got dynamic 9-point, 21-point, 51-point, 3D tracking or auto area. All of these things before were hidden away in the menu. So it's a lot easier for photographers to select their focus type now, and a lot quicker if it's a sports photographer who needs to photograph a fast-moving subject and then quickly move to, say, a celebration shot, to change from dynamic to single very quickly.
It just comes about through listening to real life photographers.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there is no substitute, is there?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we believe that all the improvements put into the D4 over the D3 were as a direct result of what photographers were telling us, which essentially is perfect. And we've been touring with this camera now since its announcement a few weeks ago, and the feedback we've had from photographers is, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. From sports photographers and press photographers, the D4 is exactly what they need.
Okay, so now that you guys listening are getting your checkbooks out and you're ready to get a D4, let's start talking about the D800.
Okay.
All right?
I mean, I think the D4 is hugely significant for the press guys, but I think for the market that we're dealing with at Focus on Imaging, which is probably a lot more sort of semi-professional and so on, and much more affordable, I mean, we are so pleased that we finally brought the D800 to market. People have been asking for it for years, and it is an absolutely phenomenal camera. Shall I come and go and take you to our D800, which has got a big crowd around it?
Yeah, we're sort
as
of...
it has done for the past... day or so. I mean, the reality is yesterday morning when Focus opened at 10 o'clock, I'm not joking, people were running to be their first to get their hands on the camera.
But how nice for you as a company to have that demand.
It's brilliant. We're in such an amazing position this year, and it's such an amazing camera. I'm just going to have to fight for a few people to get my hands on it.
I'm going to just stand back here because there is a bit of a collection of people here, and I'm very aware that I don't want to take these guys away from these cameras which they've come to see, but they're all quite happy with this.
Sorry, hopefully what I say will answer all your questions anyway. Okay,
guys.
So we've got the D800 in our hands, and essentially, like the D4 is to the D3, it is very similar to the D700 in terms of its physical appearance. However, we've tweaked it in terms of its ergonomics, so it fits very, very nicely into the hand. It really does feel good. We've changed the styling of the shutter release button as well. A little technical fact for you, that the previous it was at 28 degrees. We've now made it at 35 degrees. So somebody in Japan was doing a lot of research and they came up with 35 degrees as being the optimum angle. It feels very, very comfortable in your hands, very easy to grip. But I think the first thing to say, the biggest factor about this camera is the resolution. It's a 36.3 million pixel sensor,
which is huge.
It's the biggest 35mm format sensor on the market. No other manufacturer comes close to it, to be honest with you. And we understand that, you know, a lot of photographers are going to be using this, that previously using Nikon DSLRs, but a lot of medium format guys have been coming to us as well and saying
because
that they want to get one of these.
It's a real option, isn't it?
This is a contender with the medium format. We're talking about the the £10,000 cameras, and this camera comes in at £2,400. So it really is amazing, absolutely amazing. And the feedback, you know, as I said, the feedback over the past day or so here at Focus on Imaging has been stunning on this camera.
The question is, I remember going back some time when the D200 was out.
Yeah.
And the equivalent at that time was it the D3 that was around the same time?
D200 was called probably more D2X.
D2X. So, and I posed the question, I think, you know, I want to get the D2X, but why would the D200 be an option? You know? This is the same question I'm going to ask now with the 800 versus the 4.
Yeah, okay. I mean, no, it's a very good question. It's what a lot of photographers have been asking us. I mean, it does have a lot of the technology from the D4. So in terms of its focusing, that amazing focusing we were talking about, every bit is good on this. It's still got the improved screen. It's got a vastly improved processing engine, which I haven't even mentioned at all, as the D4 does. But it's a smaller camera. I mean, it's not designed for the very, very heavyweight use. So for the likes of the sports photographers where they're sort of treating their cameras like tools and they're getting bashed about and so on, it's not going to stand up to such rugged use. Also, it's not quite as fast. I mean, this is 4 frames a second, but when you're talking about a 36 million pixel camera, you know, who really needs to be shooting at that resolution at anything faster than 4 frames a second?
And frankly, in my experience and my own shooting style, I don't shoot more, even on my D3s, they're turned right down to no more than 4 frames a second anyway.
Sure, and I think that's a reality for most photographers. It's only really the high-end sports photographers and maybe a few other areas where they would really need that kind of speed, and they're going to be the guys that are buying the D4s. I mean, this fits into so many brackets. You know, as we were saying with the D4, videographers are interested in this camera because it is so affordable. You know, architectural photographers, wedding photographers, landscape photographers, studio photographers, there are so many areas where we know this camera is going to sell incredibly well.
So from your side of things, when the first rumours started to be circulated, and no doubt your competitors started to catch wind of it, what were you hearing from them? Were they surprised to hear that you were talking about it, or did they feel that maybe they should have got there quicker, or was it a complete... You know, was it totally unexpected or?
No, I mean, I think to be fair, I think our competitors are scared right now. I mean, the reality is, you know, there's an awful lot of photographers that are shooting Nikon, and as I probably sang to you last year, over the past few years, we got an awful lot of photographers back. But I think we're going to be getting even more photographers back now, especially those that were, you know, shooting videography. So without mentioning any specific names, I think people know exactly what I'm talking about here.
And also, one of the things I have to say with Nikon, of course, is all your lenses, you can trace it way back down the line and still use the lenses
that
you've had for years and years and years.
Yeah, I mean, we're really proud of the fact that we've never changed our lens mount. So the reality is you can use pretty much any Nikon lens made since 1959 on a D800 or a D4 or any of our current DSLRs, which is phenomenal.
And it's interesting, I was having this conversation with someone, it was either on Twitter or Facebook or what have you recently, and this goes after a good, I think it was a prime lens.
Okay. Yeah.
And around the 1.8 to something like that. And I said, well, you know, what are your requirements, or is it? And long story short, he ended up going for something that was a good few years old because for his, and this is what it boils down to, for his requirements, he didn't need the very latest VR super quick lens.
Yeah.
And he saved, let's be honest, he saved a fortune on using what a lot of people would say was outdated technology.
No,
but actually
absolutely.
It's not outdated because it's still is functional.
No, absolutely, and especially for the video market because a lot of those guys will be shooting just manually, fully manually only.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, there are a lot of video guys currently using our lenses on Canon cameras and other brands of cameras with converters.
Yeah.
So it's amazing for them that
it
they can get it
right
on
there,
a Nikon
it?
Camera. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, no, it's really absolutely great for us. You know, there's such a good lens range, but we've got really really good video cameras to back that up now as well.
Excellent.
Which
well,
is phenomenal.
Looking at these gentlemen that are stood here, I'm not sure they're so much looking at you, Rob, I'm afraid.
I think it's what's in your hand.
I think we ought to give it back to them. And thank you guys for your patience as well. I appreciate that. But yeah, so we'll see what happens in the next 12 months. No doubt we'll catch up again next year. Let's just throw out a few web links, first of all, before we sign off.
Okay. Well, we've got obviously our main website, which is www.nikon.co.uk. Really, everything that you need to know about Nikon cameras, the D4 and the D800 is there. You can order brochures on the D4 and the D800 and all our other product range on there as well. We've also got some useful tutorials on that you can link to for there as well for the people that have got cameras and need a bit of technical help with them.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, as always, been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And as I say, I think I'm going to wait until it gets a little bit quieter so I can have a proper good look at these cameras for myself.
Absolutely,
but,
you should. Yeah.
But yeah, again, thank you so much.
No problem at all.
We'll speak again soon.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Josh.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm stood just to one side, actually, of the Zenfolio stand, and I am with Alex Paisner, who is the founder and president and CEO of Zenfolio. This is a company a lot of you probably will be aware of. You may not necessarily know exactly what wonderful features these guys supply in their product. So I'm going to hand straight over to Alex just to get, you know, the lowdown on exactly what it is that Zenfolio offers.
Well, thank you. So we started out about 6 years ago, and we strongly felt that many photographers simply don't have the time to learn how to code a website. It just, not that we can't do it, but we don't have the time to be really, really good at it. So we got together with people whose profession it is to build websites, and we said, what can we do to help in this industry? And Zenfolio was launched 6 years ago. It wasn't a professional service at the time, per se. We helped a lot of enthusiasts and a lot of amateur photographers to put their work online and make it look good. And we made it look so good that immediately people started asking us, saying, well, now that it looks so good, I want to sell it. It's a natural extension. We just didn't think of it at the time. So we took that and we said, okay, what would it take to build a professional website with sales? So our premium service was launched about a year later. At the time, it was our top level. It was $100 a year. We didn't have it offered any other currencies at the time. And about 30% of our users switched to the premium service in the first 30 days.
Wow.
So we really felt like this is something people want.
Mm.
And what does it really mean to have a professional website today? I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, it's been some time since we've launched the premium service, so we've been adding features consistently over time. 5-6 times a year, we have new updates coming out, major updates. And we've observed a trend. It used to be that to have a full website for a photographer, you had to go around and piece it together. You had to have a slideshow portfolio from this company and a proofing solution from that company and then a WordPress blog from there. And you had to connect it together using your domain name and make it all look the same.
I remember those days.
It's a lot of work.
It was a painful process.
And many people are still struggling with it today, not just because it's difficult to do, but it costs money.
Mm.
You don't really know what's out there. Now you have to become an expert in photo blogs and an expert in, you know, flash or not flash. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, these are philosophical decisions and we struggle with them. So what Zenfolio has done really, really well is just kind of democratize this whole decision-making process and say, everything that you need online is under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
You have one account that you log into, and you have your choice. You know, do you need a blog? Great, we give you a blog. Do you need online proofing? Great, we give it to you. If you don't need it, don't use it.
Mm.
You pay your, you know, one annual fee, and you only use the features that you need. Some people take advantage of all of them. Some people only need a portion of it. And you shouldn't be worried about technical things like, you know, flash or what size images I have. You give us what you've got in your system,
mm-hmm.
and it is our job to make it work on iPhones and Androids and iPads and all the other devices.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a big screen, look at big images. You've got a small screen, you have small images, and forget about scroll bars. It is not your concern. We'll take care of it for you.
And what we've got in front of us here, just looking at your display, your banner, immediately website, marketing, shopping basket, order fulfillment, there's the client fulfillment, that sort of thing. Just talk me through some of these key features.
Sure.
Because people that have checked out either through the Active Photographer or separately my own site, the Giles Babbage Photography site, will know that I have, for example, a portfolio area. I have a client fulfillment area, which is a password protected area. But these, again, are the key, you know, it's the key functions that photographers, whether it's active professionals, people looking to make the jump, or people that are just trying to, you know, present their pictures nicely and maybe make a few pounds just to to get the enjoyment out of it. This is what we're looking at.
Very, very true. And the reality is that running a photography business today is just as much about business as it is about photography. And as businessmen and women, we need tools to help manage it. We need marketing. We need to be found out there. You know, that's where the search engine optimization SEO really comes in. We need sales tools, you know, things like creating a coupon and discounts for our customers, things like being able to maybe capture somebody's email address and create an email campaign to go back to them to kind of try to create this professional presence online and maximize sales, really. I mean, many of us do it for fun. We enjoy it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it. But let's not forget, we also need to make a profit. And so when you look at things like marketing tools, which include, you know, your SEO, your social media, your email and contact management system, it is a very integral part of what you need for your website. So now that you've got your portfolio, now that you've got your website running, you start thinking about, okay, how do I promote myself? How do I bring people to my website? What do I do? Once I do this, how do I sell them? So I need access to good products to sell. I need to be able to take the orders, process the payment, I mean, basic things, but it's sometimes very difficult, process the payments, and have that order fulfilled by a really high-quality supplier. So, for example, in the UK, we work with One Vision Imaging. It's one of the best pro websites.
And I would just chip in there. I actually use them myself, so listeners will be aware of them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're one of the best quality photo finishing labs in the world, and they do an excellent job of taking the image and just making it look the best they can when printed. So we've integrated with them, so their entire catalog of product is available to photographers inside their Zenfolio account. They just set their own prices. And when they sell it, the order, after you look it over, it just travels directly to the lab, gets printed, put in a white box with no branding on it, no Zenfolio, no One Vision, just photographer's name, and it gets delivered to your client. That really takes a huge burden away from just running the whole business. So we used to say that £100 a year is the best £100 you'll spend on photography this year. And for many, it's true. I mean, this is really all you need to do to make that jump from, okay, I'm going to take a few images for fun, to really have the entire system available to you to make a profit.
And actually, in real terms, £100, and some people listening will have sold prints themselves, they may have sold images, they may even have images online with the likes of Alamy or something like that. £100 is, relatively speaking, is easy to recoup that money. You only need a handful of sales in order to get that money back.
That's true.
But it does, like you're saying, it does so much more than just being £100 well spent.
Right. Yeah. Right. Obviously, it's an investment of time for any photographer to learn the system, to set up their site. And we recognize that, so we provide lots of tools for people to get up to speed, like training videos and webinars that we run. And it's a type of system that's designed to be very easy to use. It's the easiest system out there of that type that gets you going. If you can use basic Photoshop, you can use Zenfolio. And really, this is how we look at it. We pride ourselves in making it simple. There's no coding involved whatsoever to build a website. You
That's
don't
really
have to
good,
know HTML.
People still don't like code, do
That's
they?
Right. I mean, there are solutions out there that say, oh, but you can do anything with coding. That's true, but every time I need to make a change, I now have to find an expert. And they need to tell me this, you know, snippet of code that I have to copy and paste where. Leave it to the professionals. Make it simple. And just make it work. It's a little bit of an approach that Apple takes. They sometimes kind of protect people from making mistakes or from making things look bad. So it's a little bit like that. And at the end of the day, our job is to make photographers look good, give them unlimited storage so they don't have to worry about how much they are doing it, and give them tools to make a profit.
So how? Let's take myself as an example.
Okay.
I already have this system, as it were, in place. If I was to want to jump from a competitor to your system, is it a simple process? Is there? There's not going to be any downtime as such. It's just the logistics of getting the domains switched or that side of things.
Right. we actually answer these questions every day. We have a lot of people switching from other systems to Zenfolio once they discover it. And what we usually recommend is that you take out a trial account. It's good for 2 weeks, fully functional. And you set it all up. You put your logos, you put your name, you do some customizations, you set it all up. And as you think that you are comfortable with what it looks like, sort of as a final switch, you go to the company where your domain name is registered at. Yeah. You make one change, and we help you with that. And from that point on, all the visitors are redirected to your new website on Zenfolio.
Brilliant.
And you do that when you're comfortable with it, when you've really gotten it to the point that it looks good and represents you well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the final switch. Until then, you can have your older system still in place, so you don't lose any, you don't have any downtime at all.
Brilliant. And I gather, I was speaking to one of your colleagues a few minutes ago, and they were saying that actually, if you didn't want to use all of the functions that are available, you don't have to. It's all part of the package, and for most people they will, but if you decided that, for example, you wanted to self-fulfill your print orders, you could do that yourself. For myself, there'd be no point because I'm already using those guys anyway.
Right, right.
But yeah,
that's very true. And again, this is about having a choice, right? So if you happen to use a different lab than what we use, you can just turn around and say, have the orders come to me, and I will fulfill them myself. You'd have to do a little bit more work, but it's your choice.
Yeah.
It's your choice. I mean, there's lots and lots of functionality built into Zenfolio. I mean, the list is pretty long. We've been doing it for a long time. So I'm not going to go through, you know, everything and everything. But if you can think of it from the, you know, kind of a photographer running a business standpoint, chances are we've been asked to do this before. And we do it.
I often think, before I even talk to or approach companies, I'll look at shows like this. I'll look at their display. And that often gives you a pretty good idea of the company that you're going to be dealing with. I'm not going to mention names, but we've got people just across the way from you here. Quite a packed display there. You can't see all of the products clearly. I'm sure they're very good products. But then you look at someone like your own, and you've got the Macs set up there, very clear branding, very clear signage, and there's room for people to move around. And that, for me, instills quite a bit of confidence even before I speak to people. And it's a bit like going to someone's website.
Well, thank you, thank you. Very true. I mean, we think that we do a good job at representing ourselves, which is, you know, not an easy task. You keep experimenting and trying different things, but we do believe that building a strong brand for a company is important, and it has to reflect on the creativity and the overall design approach that we take, because we are, after all, working with artists and professional photographers, and they pay attention to this sort of things. Colors are important, consistency is important, so we have to look professional. You know, whether it comes to, you know, our uniforms or what, you know,
I was
going to
say, you guys look very smart, actually, even though it's the end of the day. I think you still
it's been a long day, to be honest. Yesterday was an even longer day. We were, you know, down two people, and it was a very long day yesterday.
But you present yourself well, and that's the important thing. And I'm sure it's made an impact. So let's just round things up. Give the guys listening a link for them to follow.
Go to www.zenfolio.com. Take out a trial account, and in 2 weeks, hopefully, you'll be convinced that this is a really good place to host your photography.
Excellent. And as always, I'll be linking to that in the show notes. So if anyone wants to check you guys out, they can do that through the show notes or directly. No doubt you guys have your social media yourself, so that you're out there, follow it from the website. And any questions that they might have for you, I get the impression you're very happy to answer.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for hosting us on your show.
My pleasure. Thanks, okay. Alex. Cheers. I've caught up with Natalie Littlehales, who is a brand manager with Joby. Now, if you guys are not aware of this brand, you certainly will be aware of the GorillaPod, which is a wonderful little device. They've been going a long time. They're a flexible tripod that you can bend the legs around branches of trees and on railings and all that sort of thing to put your compact cameras or small flash guns on. Natalie and I are going to be talking about a couple of products which are kind of developments of that initial GorillaPod sort of design. Natalie, let's talk about what it's non-visual medium. What we have in front of us here, it is a Joby tripod, but it's something a little bit different.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the GorillaPod Focus. So basically, we took the premise of the original GorillaPod and translated that to something that would take a DSLR. It will carry up to 5 kilograms of weight, so that's a good size camera and lens. But what we've actually done is made a far superior product in terms of components. So we did a lot of research looking at the best materials to hold that all-important camera and lens kit.
And I had a quick look at this yesterday, and I'm walking around the show with my D3 slung over my shoulder, and you know, I set it up and it supported it perfectly, because one of the things I think a lot of people have picked up on with this particular design is that it not only are the legs considerable, should we say, they're very chunky,
yeah,
but it actually has a half decent, or a very decent I should say, a
yeah,
ball and socket head on it.
Yeah, that's it. So the whole of the Focus is actually constructed from aluminium, so very sturdy materials. You've got a 360 degree pan, you've got a tilt on there, and a X-shaped quick release plate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's nice is you can it's very customizable. So if you've already got tripod kit that you use, you can use your existing ball head with the Focus legs, and again, people quite like the fact that you're not restricted to how you use this. You know, it's definitely a tripod that everybody who we speak to at the show has had that scenario where they can't quite get a standard tripod set up, you know, or they've seen something or they want to be in the shot, which again, this is perfect for, because
yeah,
you can wrap this around a railing and get in the shot yourself, which is nice.
I think I alluded to this the other day. I was recently out in my local woodland, which listeners will be well aware of, because I'm often there recording and testing kit. And for whatever reason, and I have no idea why, I just decided not to take any form of support. Now, normally I would at least have a super clamp or a portable tripod, a tabletop tripod, something, but I didn't. And I was cursing myself, because I only wanted to support a little video camera to do some behind the scenes filming.
Yeah.
This is the largest model in the range currently.
Yes.
And it stands, what are we looking at, about sort of 14 inches,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And that's from the very tip of the foot, as it were, right up to the very top of the
yeah,
plate on the top there. For a lot of listeners listening, they're obviously involved very much in the outdoors.
Yeah.
They do a lot of walking, they do a lot of mountain biking. Something like this, of course, it doesn't take up a lot of space and is flexible. So even if you wanted to put it in your rucksack and you had to negotiate it around a flask or your cameras, what have you.
Yeah.
It's
very compact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do like the fact that it does have a quick release, because a lot of tripods and supports of this sort of size, you can't get a decent head to go
I
with
them.
I
think that's it. As a complete kit, it does a very professional job. It's very compact, but you can kind of be as creative as you want with all of the Joby products. I think as well, what's nice about the Focus is if you're out, it's a really good sort of macro tripod, again, because that ball head and the flexibility of the legs mean you can really kind of work it right in there, and it's very quick to set up.
And I think also a lot of people are going to be doing video work, and one of the features which is that those people will be looking at is, yes, you do have the ball head, so you can position the camera in all sorts of angles, but you also do have this release so that along the horizontal axis you can rotate the whole of that head 360
yeah,
degrees. So if you want to get those slow pan shots,
yeah,
or if you're out with your mates on your mountain bikes and you do that sort of thing,
yes,
you've got that solid platform, but then you've also got that functionality there, which is really good. So
yeah,
really nice product. It's the first time I've seen it actually, and I was just thinking of the typical GorillaPod, which a lot of people are aware of.
Yeah.
We've also got next to us something that's a little bit different. It's a kind of like an extension of the range. It's still based on that flexible tripod system,
yeah,
but it actually has something different on top.
Yes, so here we have the Gorilla Torch. So the idea was, we saw great success with the GorillaPod range, and a lot of people were asking us for, you know, oh, there's so many situations where, you know, you just need that added bit of flexibility. And this was actually, you know, from consumer feedback, the torch was created. So the flare has got... it's got a white light in varying degrees. It's a 100 lumen capacity, so it's a good white, bright light. We also have a red light and also a strobe. So the usage scenarios, for example, are particularly in outdoor, the red light helps with night vision. But also the strobe is fantastic as an emergency light. It's used very often in camping. Because again, the flexible legs mean you can attach it anywhere. It also comes with magnetic feet.
Oh, right.
So these magnets mean that you can attach to absolutely anything that's metal. It's used very often on the tops of cars. People also use it for working on cars and mountain bikes, because the metal legs mean you've got a torch that you don't need to hold on to, and you can completely angle and target the light. So it's great for that sort of usage.
And another thing that immediately springs to mind for me as a photographer is myself and a lot of people included like to do nighttime photography, and one of the things that's popular with nighttime photography, much aside from this being used when you're unpacking or setting up kit, people love to do the painting with light approach.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, something like this, perfect. I've used in the past, I've been camping and I've just used a head torch for that. But say, if you were trying to cut down your kit, the amount you're taking, and you wanted your, for want of a better term, a base camp torch that's always in your tent, you've got this. But then if you're going to be doing your light painting, then you've got something for that as well.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It's just a great little product. It's very versatile. And that's what we try and do across the whole range, is think of sort of the maximum amount of things that you can use this for.
And by contrast, this, when we look at the what we were just talking about previously, this is less than half the height. We're on probably about, what, 5 inches maybe, something along those lines. And say, so you've got a rubberized sort of at the front here, rubberized ring around there. How does the gearing work on the
right, you've just got a little function button that takes you through the various modes. It also just takes 3 standard AA batteries.
Okay.
So again, it will take your rechargeable batteries. And on the sort of economy, the basic white light mode, you'll get up to 80 hours of light.
Wow.
So again, very efficient.
That's enough for a long weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Well, so these are at Focus, I'm always seeing new products which I maybe haven't sort of been aware of before. But then equally, there are these brands and designs that I've seen previous incarnations, but it's very interesting for me to see these new developments, because so many brands, I always think of it a bit like Porsche, you know, they haven't changed their design a lot in a lot of the time. Yeah, it's very easy to stick to a design that works, what have you, but the fact that you've listened to people and are now putting the ball head on the top, the fact that you can see that photographers and outdoor enthusiasts want a product that is flex, not literally, you know, physically flexible, because it is, but you know what I mean. It's so it's really good to see. So let's share a link with people. Of course, I'll link to this in the show notes, but if people want to find out more, where should they look?
Yeah, you can find out the complete product range on www.joby.com, and that's spelled J-O-B-Y.
Lovely. As I say, I'll be linking to that, but for now, Natalie, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Remember, you can check out all the show notes to this and other Focus on Imaging specials, as well as the regular weekly shows, at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.